I ask you, if you will, pray for me tonight. I really stand in need of the Lord's help here tonight. I have been looking at something for several days that I wanted to preach, but I never could get my mind wrapped around some of the areas in there, and I just didn't feel confident to stand in the pulpit and try to preach about it. So perhaps in the future, if the Lord will allow me to put it together, I'll be able to preach to you about Bartimaeus. Seems like here lately, God has been dealing with me about certain individuals in the Bible. You know, if you remember, I think it was the last time I preached about one Simon. And I don't know if you got much out of it, but I sure did. I remember 100 years ago, Brother Bill Pemberton preached a message on one Simon. I had never heard that message, and I got in touch with Brother Sam, and he tracked it down and sent me a copy of it, and I listened to it after I had preached it, and I'm glad I didn't listen to it before I preached it. But the Lord seems to have placed on my heart a man by the name of Enoch, and that's what I want to speak to you for a little while here tonight. I have preached this message before, not here, but I think maybe I might have dealt with these scriptures in Sunday school several years ago, but I did preach it in Alabama at the last of September, and Brother Tommy, you are aware that, I'm sure the other preachers are aware that you may preach the same title, the same scriptures more than once. But it seems like wherever you preach it, God tailors that message for the congregation where you're preaching it. It never seems like it comes out the very same way. You may begin with the same scriptures, but if you follow the Lord Jesus, if you follow the Holy Spirit's promptings, He will tailor that message to the need of the congregation where it's being preached. Now, if you will, look in Genesis chapter number 5. I tell you what, I'm going to read the entire chapter. It may seem a little dull to you, but I have a reason for doing that. And I hope and pray that this is not the most scripture that you've read this week. If it is, shame on you. Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made He him. Male and female created He them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth was 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begot Enos. And Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan. And Enos lived after he begot Canaan 815 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begot Mahalalel 840 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begot Jared 830 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, but God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived as he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech was 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Father, I ask you, Lord, please to help me tonight. Help me to glorify you. Help me, Lord, to be a blessing and a help to these people. But most of all, Lord, may you be glorified in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I want to look at one of the most mysterious and unusual men that's found in Scripture. The man who's listed in this genealogy that's found in Genesis chapter number 5 as the seventh from Adam, his name is Enoch. And his name occurs for the first time in Genesis chapter number 5. In the midst of a survey covering some 1,500 years of human history, which is given very rapidly and focuses on 9 men. Someone has called this God's obituary. It's God's obituary column because over and over again it's recorded of these men that lived so many years, they begot so and so, and then lived so many years, and after that, then he died. And he died, and he died, and he died. That's the refrain that rings like a tolling of a bell all the way through chapter number 5. If you will pay attention to the verses that I read here tonight, you will recognize the lie of the devil in the Garden of Eden. Remember, the Lord God has said to Adam and Eve concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. When the serpent came tempting Eve, he said to her a flat and a blatant lie. He said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. But over and over through the process of history, God has recorded how this has been shown to be what it is, a lie. And men have died ever since. Here's a record of 1,500 years of human history in which it's recorded 8 times, and he died. And he died. But there's one exception to that list. It's about one man out of the 9, the divinely inspired penman, is not able to write of Enoch that he died. For when it comes to the name Enoch, he must say, and he was not, for God took him. And this marks Enoch as the most unusual man. As far as the Bible record goes, there were only 2 human beings in all of human history who were translated and did not die. One was Elijah, and the other was Enoch. Furthermore, there are only 2 men in the record of the Bible in whom it is ever said that they walked with God.
Now,
it's obvious that there were other people that had to have walked with God.
Must have been many, many people.
But it's only recorded of two men that they walked with God in the Bible. Noah and Enoch. And Enoch is the only one who was said to have walked with God two times. Now, I don't mean that Enoch walked with God two times, and that's all he walked with God. It means that two times in the Bible tells us Enoch walked with God. Therefore, there is a special emphasis on Enoch that he walked with God. Now, of course, there were many other people that did walk with God. But God is highlighting this man, Enoch, in these scriptures. And only two men does the Bible record that they ever pleased God. Those two men were the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and Enoch. The Bible tells us that Enoch pleased God. And so this man takes his place in the highest rank of God's people, and for 300 years it's recorded of him that he walked with God. I want to draw my thought from verse number 24, where the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Notice it says that Enoch was not. Enoch was not what? And that's what I want to preach to you for a little while tonight was, and Enoch was not what? What was Enoch not? But to get to that, I want to give you a little background found in these scriptures and in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. And in the book of Jude, in verse 14 and 15. But first of all, the Bible tells us Enoch walked with God. Now, probably you've heard the expression, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. Now, if I was going to walk from here to the back door back there, to get there, unless somebody carried me, I would have to take the first step. But if I only took the first step and didn't take any more steps, I would never get to the back door. To get to the back door, I've got to take the first step, and then I've got to continue and take steps until I get to the back door and I take my final step. I remember years ago when my wife and I were a lot younger than we are now, we would backpack on the Appalachian Trail in North Georgia and in North Carolina, and it was our dream to walk the entire Appalachian Trail. However, that trail is 2,193 miles long. We never got to accomplish that. But we did start at Springer Mountain in Georgia, and we made it all the way through Georgia into North Carolina to the Smoky Mountains. And then my wife had a heart attack, not from walking the trails, but she had heart troubles, and we were never, ever able to backpack again. But what I'm trying to say is, there were times that we would go on a trip, and the trip would take 55, 60 miles, and we would break it up into the increments. And to do those times, then we had to continue walking. Day after day, mile after mile, step after step, we would never have gotten from Springer Mountain to Gooch Gap if we did not continue taking our steps. And that's exactly what we need to realize in Enoch's walk. There was a first step that Enoch had to take in order for him to walk with God. Now, the Bible tells us, in John chapter number 5 and verse number 40, and you will not come unto me. In John chapter 6 and verse 44, no man can come to me. You will not and you cannot come to God because you cannot see God. You cannot hear God. You cannot feel God. You cannot hunger for God. You cannot smell the beauty of God. You will not come to God because you do not believe there is a God. You do not believe there is a God because your intellect has been darkened. Your emotions have been deadened.
Your will is disabled, and your heart is depraved. Therefore, in order to come to God, you must believe that there is a God. In order to believe that there is a God, God Himself must enlighten your darkened mind to know that there is a God. He must enliven your deadened emotions to want to come to God. He must enable your disabled will in order to obey Him when He bids you to come to Him. And He must enamor your depraved heart for you to love Him and desire Him and want to come to Him. In other words, the first step in walking with God is taken by God Himself. If God does not come to us, we surely are not going to go to God. God must intervene in our lives and grant us the ability to repent of our sins, turn to Him by faith, and trust in Him and Him alone for our salvation. In order to walk with God, we must be reconciled to God. Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" We must be in agreement with God by submitting our total being unto Him. We cannot walk with God if we do not come to God. Coming forward in a meeting is not coming to God. Coming to this altar is not coming to God. Coming to the preacher is not coming to God. We cannot walk with God and hang on to the world at the same time. We must leave the world behind. We cannot walk with God on Sunday and then walk according to the course of this world the remainder of the week. We cannot walk with God and try to pick our own path. In order for us to walk with God, we must be in obedience to God. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 21 says, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." We must put our trust in God. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Not only must there be a first step in walking with God, there has to be following steps as well. John chapter 8 and verse number 12, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We are following Him in His way. Isaiah 30 and 21 says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." We are following Him in His will. Psalm 37 and 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in His way." We are to follow Him in the Word. Psalms 119 and verse 105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Verse 59 says, "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto Thy testimonies." And we are to follow Him in His work. Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse number 2, "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Has it ever occurred to you that the path is God? The path of God is under us. The presence of God is with us. The protection of God is around us. The providence of God is above us. The privileges of God are behind us. And the promises of God are before us. And any time we try to walk without God, then we are in trouble. The first step, the following steps, and then there is a final step. Job chapter number 14 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "For thou numbereth my steps." Now, each and every one of us is here tonight. At one time, we took our first step. I don't know how old you were when you took your first step.
My mother told me I was a little over 8 months old when I took my first step. But do you realize that 75 years ago, when I took that first step, God had already numbered the steps that I was going to take here on the face of this earth. He knows that I have a final step. I don't know when that step is going to take place, but God does. One day, every one of us will take our last step on this earth. And if the Lord tarries His coming, that step might be today. That final step removes us from time and launches us into eternity. Where will you take your final step? Will you take it into the eternal presence of God or into the eternal absence of God? God has numbered all of our steps. God has numbered all, every single one of our steps. There are some people who will this day take their final step on this earth. Probably even while I am preaching this message now, somewhere on the face of this earth, somebody has just took their last step. Are you aware that God has numbered your steps? Can you take another step and know without a doubt that if it was your last step, that you would take that step into the presence of God? What a solemn thought that is. Where would your last step take you? As I was studying Enoch, looking in the book of Genesis and the book of Hebrews and the epistle of Jude, looking at the walk of Enoch, I realized that in Genesis, it deals with a progressive walk. There was a first step. The Bible says Enoch walked for 300 years. It was a progressive walk. And then when you come to Hebrews, it's a pleasurable walk. During that walk, the Bible tells us that Enoch pleased God. And when you come to the book of Jude, you see that it's a professing walk. We see that while Enoch was walking with God, he was prophesying, he was preaching the Word of God. Enoch's walk was personal. Enoch's walk was public. Enoch's walk was private. And Enoch's walk was profitable. Moses, the one who wrote the Pentateuch, who wrote the book of Genesis, his emphasis is on fellowship. Enoch walked with God. Enoch had fellowship with God. Paul, as he wrote the book of Hebrews, I think, his emphasis was on faith. The Bible tells us that Enoch believed in God. And then when you come to Jude, I think the emphasis is on the future. The Bible tells us that he prophesied. He spoke out for God. He preached about what was coming down the pike. The Bible tells us Enoch pleased God. Now we have a choice. You realize you have a choice. You can either please yourselves, you can please others, or you can please God. Jesus said, I do always those things that please Him. I wish I could say that. Man was originally created in the image of God. Adam begat Seth in his own likeness after his image. All the days of Adam were 930 years, and the Bible says he died. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2 that eternal life is the result of believing God. Death is a result of not believing God. Satan said, you shall not surely die. Over and over throughout Genesis chapter number 5, we read, and he died. Now, who spoke the truth? God did. God said, if you partake of that fruit, you will surely die. And all through chapter number 5, you see it repeated over and over and over and over again that he died. But we come to Enoch, and it does not say that Enoch died. The Bible tells us that he was not, for God took him. I'm going to skip over some of this. I want you to notice in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 8 that the Word of God says, and they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, John chapter 1 and verse 23 says that that voice is crying in the wilderness. And what's it crying? Repent. Come back to God. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. God enjoyed fellowship with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says He walked there in the garden with Adam and Eve. More than likely, it was a daily event. And I honestly believe Adam and Eve looked forward to fellowship with God until sin came into their lives. What I want you to leave with you tonight is that man was created by God for fellowship and communion with Him. God, no doubt, on a regular basis, would walk with Adam in the cool of the day. Because of Adam's sin, this fellowship and this communion was severed. However, as we can see in Genesis chapter 5, there is still a ray of hope. In the midst of so much death, in the midst of so much darkness, in the midst of so much depravity, we see a light shining forth. What is that light? Where's that light coming from? It's coming from Genesis chapter number 5 and verse number 22. It's coming from Enoch. And Enoch walked with God regardless of all the depravity that was going on in Enoch's time, regardless of how dark it was, Enoch walked with God. He was the light that God used to shine forth in that dark generation. And the Bible tells us, those of us who are the children of God, we are the lights of the world, and we are to shine forth in this dark and evil world in which we live. Enoch was that light. Turn with me for just a moment to the book of Jude, the epistle of Jude. Let me read these verses to you. Pay attention to these verses as I read them. Verse number 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. In verse number 18, He says, how that they told you there shall be mockers in the last time who shall walk after their own ungodly lust. Five times. Jude uses that word ungodly. It means irreverent. It means impious. It means wicked. In other words, Jude is preaching about Enoch and how he lived his life in an ungodly generation. Five times he uses that word, ungodly. And that gave me the idea that during that time, it was a time of saturated evil. Evil oozed out of practically every human being on the face of the earth at that time. Look around us today. Wherever you go, it seems like you have to wade through knee-deep evil and wickedness just to live your daily lives. We are living in an ungodly age, in an ungodly generation, and God expects us to walk with Him through all of this. We're not going to get through it walking on our own. We must be in fellowship. We must be in agreement. We must walk with God. Now, I'm going to have to close here. And I want to say here, Enoch was not what? What was it that Enoch was not? Well, first of all, it's obvious, the Bible says, that Enoch was not found. That's what the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5.
And if Enoch was not found, that means somebody was looking for him. Somebody missed him. If you leave this earth today, are you going to be missed? I'm sure your family's going to miss you. But those that you come in contact with, will they miss you because you were such a godly influence on their lives? I'm sure Enoch was. And Enoch was missed. They went looking for it. The Bible tells us in 2 Kings that when God translated Elijah, there were 50 men went out and looked for Elijah. They missed him. They couldn't find him. I hope and pray that I've been such an influence on my family and those that I come in contact with on a daily basis that they'll miss me witnessing to them. Enoch was not found. Enoch was not faithless. Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible tells me here in verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why was Enoch walking with God? Because Enoch believed God. Enoch was not found. Enoch was not faithless. Enoch was not a failure. Look in that verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch was not a failure. No doubt, during the whole time Enoch was walking with God, he had people ridiculing him, mocking him, and telling him that he was wasting his life. But Enoch was not a failure. Enoch was not fearful. In Jude chapter 14, the Bible tells us that Enoch prophesied of all the ungodliness that was going on in that day and time. Enoch was not fearful. He stood there and he walked and he prophesied and he preached of the grace of God in amongst all of that evilness in which he lived at that time. And Enoch was not forgotten. Enoch prophesied of these. The Bible tells us there in Jude, verse 14, that he was the seventh from Adam. God knew exactly who Enoch was. He wasn't forgotten. And if we'll stand for God, and if we will walk with God, and if we will please God and believe God and live for God, you can rest assured God is not going to forget about you. And Enoch was not forlorn. By that I mean he was not hopeless. He was not sad. He wasn't walking for those years with God with his chin hanging down to his knees. Enoch had his head held high. Enoch knew exactly what he was doing, and he was happy in doing what he was doing. And Enoch was not faltering. Enoch walked for 300 years. And I got saved in 2006. That's, what, 16 years? 15 years? I can't do the math right now. Six from one is 15 years. Been walking with God for 15 years, and it hasn't been easy, but I don't regret a single day of it. There's been some days that have been easier than others, some days that have been harder than others, but as we see here with Enoch, he continued walking with God regardless of what he faced in his life. And you know, Enoch was not frustrated. Enoch walked with God 300 years. And the Bible says God took him. Enoch wasn't frustrated. Enoch was rewarded because of his faithful walk with God. And can I say, Enoch was not without a foundation. He believed in God. And that's the foundation that we all must have, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say that Enoch was not lost? Enoch knew exactly where he was. He was with God. And if you walk with God, you'll never be lost. You'll always know where you're at. Because God is with you and God knows where you're at. Not only was he not lost, he was not at a loss. He knew his purpose. He knew what he was doing. He knew what God was doing with him. He wasn't lost and he wasn't at a loss and he was not losing. Giving your life to God is not throwing your life away. Spending your time with God is not losing time with this world, because if you are walking with God and living with God and enjoying God, you do not want any part of this world. Can I say Enoch was walking, not walking by sight? He was not walking by sight. Let me try to explain something to you here. When we were born into this world as human beings, we were born into this world with five senses. We had the sense of sight, the sense of hearing, the sense of taste, the sense of touch, and the sense of smell. We have five natural senses that we gained when we were born into this world. Have you ever wondered why the professing church is in the shape it's in today? Well, I think, Brother Hummey, I know the answer. I think the professing church today is trying to operate on those five natural senses. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he lost something. He lost the sense of the awareness of God in his life. And if we try to, as Welcome All Baptist Church, if we try to operate in those five natural senses, we're going to go astray. If we operate outside of the awareness of God, then we cannot and will not be pleasing to God. We must operate with that spiritual sense that God gives us when we are born again. Enoch was not walking by sight. He was not walking in darkness. He was not walking after the flesh. He was not walking according to the course of this world. He was not walking alone. I'm sure that in those 300 years that Enoch walked with God, some days were not as good as other days. I'm sure he had bad days, but he was not alone. In the last few years, this church has been knocked to the ground. And we've had to undergo a lot of things that we wish that we did not have to go through. But regardless of what we are going through, even though we may be on the ground, even though we may be down, God is with us. We are not alone. And if we'll look to Him, then He'll get us back on our feet and He'll get us walking along with Him once again. We cannot allow the things of this world to get us down. We need to realize that we are never, ever alone. And Enoch was not walking afar off. He was with God. And we need to realize that every single day when we wake up in the morning, or if we have to work at night and we wake up in the evening or whatever, we need to realize that the first thing that we need to do is begin our day or our night with God. And Enoch was not walking out of step. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, I think it says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Enoch was in perfect agreement with God for 300 years. And as I close, let me say this. Enoch was not without opposition. You can rest assured, during those 300 years that he walked with God, he was faced with opposition many, many times. And don't you expect, just because you are a child of God, just because God has saved you, that everything's going to be a bed of roses from here on out. In reality, once we become saved, once we become children of God, and living in this world, we are going to face opposition. And rest assured that it's going to become stronger and stronger as the days go by. How are we going to overcome that? By doing what Enoch did, by walking with God. Brother, tell me.